The Witness the World podcast represents the personal views of the host and guests at the time of recording. These views may change over time. The content here is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Any content here should not be construed as financial, medical, or any other type of professional advice. Please consult with a qualified practitioner should you require any professional advice. G'day, everyone. Welcome to episode 9 of the Witness the World podcast. My name is Ben Choi, and today we'll be heading to Australia. Our guest has been on a journey to help others through holistic health and wellness therapy. She uses a unique healing approach to remove mental blocks and to help people become better versions of themselves. Today, we'll learn about her transformation from non-believer to practitioner in the field of energy healing. We'll also explore how this therapy approach has helped others and what to expect if we opened ourselves up to this unique experience. Will we be skeptics? Or will we be believers? It's time to find out. Anne Harris, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you.
Likewise. So I thought, and probably the best thing to do was to get started is, you know, maybe have a little explanation, maybe help our audience like kind of define what energy healing and energy medicine is all about.
So energy medicine is being able to work with the body energetically to be able to get it to heal by itself without needing to have operations or needing medication. So an holistic approach to getting the body completely back into balance and being healthy so that it no longer holds people back from doing what they want to do in life.
Perfect. So you've been on quite a journey over the years to get yourself to this point. So such a great story on how you got into the field. So perhaps you can tell our audience a little bit about like what you were doing before you got into this field and how you got into the field. And let's kind of take it from there.
Yeah, so it was never my destiny, like what I thought was going to happen was to do alternative therapies or anything like that. I was very I worked in corporate previously when I lived in London and was very organized, strategic, and always had plans and goals ahead that I, you know, worked towards to achieve what we wanted. And it was always my childhood dream to live in Australia. I don't know why, I just always felt this pull in to want to come here. And eventually my husband said yes. And so we started the visa process. It takes about a year to come over here. And when we actually got our visas, we couldn't come over to emigrate fully in that time. So we had to fly over again with our children. We had to get our passport stamped and then fly back. So what we done is we came over for a 2-week holiday just to get our passport stamped because it gave us another 12 months before we had to emigrate. And in that time, we found land, we found a builder, we chose our carpets, our kitchen, our paint colours, everything that we needed, and then went back to the UK and the house was built whilst we was over there and it was ready 3 days after we actually arrived. So that's how planned and strategic I was with everything, like always having to-do lists and just really being mechanical with how things worked. So I think we arrived and our furniture arrived a couple of days later and then we got the keys. So it takes so much planning to do all of that. Well, I didn't realize that the journey of being pulled to Australia was actually going to completely turn our lives upside down to start off with. So we had planned that we didn't want to work for a couple of years. We just wanted to settle our children in and not be stressed about having to find jobs or anything straight away. And so we had some money in the bank, and each time we would go in there, they would say to us, "Do you want to see our financial advisor?" And we'd be like, "No, don't want to see the financial advisor." And after a couple of months of this keep happening, I said to my husband, "Or should we just see their financial advisor and see what happens?" And so we did. And to cut a long story short, we ended up investing all of our savings. We put our house up as collateral on his advice. And we then started to get letters from the bank to say that if we didn't make repayments on our home, we was going to lose it. And we knew something wasn't right with what was going on, but we was always being told different stories. And it wasn't until we started to receive those letters that we realized how much trouble we were in. And it really, like, it was like someone had pulled the rug out from underneath me, because all of my planning that I'd done in the past wasn't actually going to get us out of this situation. Like, we was in really big trouble, and it was my worst fear that we was going to have to go back to England and live. So we didn't tell our parents what was happening at the time. We just kept it to ourselves. And I remember my neighbor lent me a book. She said, "Why don't you just read this and see if it starts to change your thought process or anything?" And it stayed on our coffee table for about 3 weeks. And I remember just sitting indoors one day and just really upset because of what was going on, and so stressed and anxious. That I picked up the book and started to read it, and realized that our thoughts and what we're saying to ourselves and how we're thinking actually creates our reality. And so I started to share what I was learning with my husband. We started to think differently about what was happening with the situation, and things really started to turn around, and we ended up getting out of the financial mess that we was in. And I just couldn't believe it. I felt like I'd won the lottery. Like, me, I felt like it was the best thing that could have happened to us. So I continued to learn different things. I was just open to all of this new information out there about the law of attraction, watching The Secret and things like that. And I'm a really big animal lover, and I decided that I wanted a dog again, but didn't want the full-time commitment of having a dog for another 12 years at the time. And so we asked to look after CNI dogs. Now over here, CNI dogs look after blind people and help them navigate around. And the first dog that we got asked to look after was Ella. She was 6 years old. She had cancer, and the cancer was all through her body, and the vets had said that there was nothing else that they could do for her. So I remember as she came down the driveway towards me, just I felt this shift in my body. And it's very hard to explain, but I just knew that I wasn't going to let her die. And because Western medicine had said that there was nothing else they could do for her, my only alternative was to go and look at alternative medicines. And we asked if we could keep her, and they said yes. And so I found someone who would help me work with Ella with alternative healing. And Ella would come and like tell me that she wanted a session. She'd just nudge me and lay in front of me, and I'd do what I was being shown, and then she'd get up and shake and walk off. And I'm thinking, does this work? Because she really got this spark back in her eye that she was like a pup again. And my husband's saying, "Oh, it's because she lives with us now and she's being treated like a queen." And I'm saying, no, I think it actually works. Like, I think it's making a difference." So just kept doing that with her, and after about 6 or 7 months of having her, my husband had an accident where some corrugated iron went through a vein and artery just in the crease of his arm. And when we got back from the hospital, I said to him, "Can I practice on you what I do for Ella?" And he said, "Do what you like, I don't care," because he was an even bigger skeptic than me. And as I started to work on him, he said, "Oh my God, Anna," he said, "I can feel tingling, I can see heat. Feel heat, I can see colors." And he really gave me the feedback that I needed, that it actually works. And over the next few weeks, the scar that went all the way across his arm just kept getting smaller and smaller, and just healed really beautifully. So I then started to practice on anyone else who said to me that they had a health issue or anything. But the whole time I was questioning it. Why does this work? How does it work? Like, why does it work for some people and not other people? And I just went on this journey of just learning and different learning the different modalities, learning what could be done for different aspects of the body that was in physical pain or health had health restrictions. And really started to notice that the people who I was working with started to get amazing results. So they could have had back pain for 20 years, and after working with me for I worked with my clients for 6 months. After working with me, the pain's completely gone, and you know the body knows how to heal itself when it's got the right thoughts going through it, and the blocks that were causing the pain dissolve away. So yeah, I've been on a really big learning curve, and Ella was with us for 6 years. She just less than 6 years. And I remember that she was having heart problems, so she kept collapsing. And on the day that I'd finally made the decision that it wasn't fair to keep putting her through that, I was lying on the floor with her in the hallway, waiting for the vet appointment. And I said to her, Ella, when you've gone, I'm not going to do this work anymore. And she lifted her head, looked at me, and I swear she said to me, are you kidding me? And I just, for all of the tears, I just laughed, and I just knew that this would be something that I do now, and you know, can work with people all over the world to really help them improve their lives. So Ella was my greatest teacher, and I'm so thankful that she came into my life. And I also know that if we hadn't have gone through the bank situation where I really ended up on my bum, like not being able to control things the way that I did in the past, I know now that all of those experiences have helped me to be able to do what I do. And I'm really grateful now. I wouldn't change any of it.
Wow, that's some amazing stories there, and it's funny how like all those perceived negative experience can turn out to create some of the best positive experiences, that can last for a lifetime, I suppose. So I'm just kind of curious, like, when did it actually hit you that, I guess you started picking up the book, you learned a little bit about, a different way to think, and then you kind of got into starting this field. Like, how long did it take you before you actually started believing this was a real thing and like there's tangible results happening?
It took me a couple of years to start questioning it. And so what I was doing is I was working somewhere else part-time, and then on my days off I was just like working with a couple of clients and doing what I was doing. And I decided to not keep it as a hobby anymore, and start to see if I could turn it into a business and still work part-time and grow the business at the same time. And so what I done is I signed up for a business course, and part of that business course meant that I had to fly to America to do 10 days in person with them. Whilst I was there, people were saying that they can't sit in the chair any longer because they've got bad backs and they had migraines and all of these things. And so I just started to say to them, I can help you with that. And what happened was, over 50% of the room, I ended up working with them, like doing healings. And I was doing them before we were starting for the day. I was doing them at some lunch breaks. I was doing them after the course, and really like just getting more and more practicing with these people. And then one of the girls turned to me and she said to me one day, how many more people are you going to need to practice on before you actually really believe in what you do? And it was like she'd punched me in the chest. I actually felt like I'd lost my breath. And really from that moment on, I knew that this is what I do now. And I've come back and just really embraced it. And I now work with skeptics. Nearly all of my clients are skeptics. I love working with them because I talk the same language as them. And I'm really blessed that I'm making a difference for people and their families.
Wow, no, that's really great. And I know probably a lot of people listening and watching are probably skeptics. And so I'm going to, ask a lot of the questions that they're probably going to ask. And I'm open-minded, but for their benefit, I will continue on here to dig a little bit. So having said all that, because you did help Ella, extend, her life and with this healing approach, and I guess I'm kind of curious. Does the whole energy healing approach, is it equally as strong and responsive with humans as it is with animals, or is one you do it on humans, is it better or worse? I'm wondering if maybe you can shed a little bit of light on that.
Animals are very open to the receptivity of the healing because they have no mental blocks holding them back. So they don't have any belief systems that it works or it don't work. So with them, they really can see a difference in their health. What I tend to do now is work with my clients, and their pets are on the bed waiting for the session before we're even starting because they know that it's going to be happening. So animals love healing. The great thing is that our cats and dogs, we have to treat them a little bit differently. So with my cat, he can take on quite a lot of negative energy. We call it negative energy. I just mean like a lower frequency of energy. Cats can, when they're purring and kneading the sofa or your leg or something, they are actually transmitting that energy and changing it so that they're processing it and not holding on to it. Dogs are different. They can't actually process the energy themselves. So if a dog is living in a negative environment, it's taking on all of that energy and then eventually will become sick. So cats can take on a lot more than dogs. But both of them need to be looked after and nurtured so they're not taking on the negativity of the home if there's like a divorce going on or arguments and things like that. So, a way you can do that is you can actually talk to the animal and say, "This is something that I'm going through and learning, and you don't need to take on this energy on my behalf," because that's what they want to do. Dogs want to make us as happy as possible. They would do anything for us generally. And so, if you have that conversation with them, it allows them to not have to take it on and store it themselves and become sick. So it's why I always work with, it's just something I do. My clients, their pets are just included in the sessions because I don't want them to be carrying anything around that they don't need to be.
Thanks for sharing that, Anne. So, speaking of clients, we'll discuss the human variety now. And so, just curious. So, let's say I was, looking for some healing and the energy healing type. And what is your process, I guess, to take on a new client? I guess is to break down the skeptical walls and get the person to have an open mind. But I suppose if they knocked on your door, they must have be open to some degree. So, how do you go about, the initial first steps for someone that's interested? Do you have a chat with them and see where they're at? And maybe you can just tell us a little bit about your process.
So it's funny because most people tell me that they come across me and they wasn't actually looking for someone like me. It's that I keep popping up in front of them and then they follow through. So before I work with anyone, I always do a free consultation with them because I want to make sure that I'm the right person to help them. And I also want to make sure that they actually want to get better because we all have free choice and not everyone wants to get better. They think that they do, but unconsciously, there's a lot of self-sabotage going on. So I really want to make sure that if someone is going to go on the healing journey, that they are ready and they want results. So yeah, always offer the free consultation first, and it's always by phone or Zoom. And my clients are all over the world. So if someone has been sexually abused or raped or anything like that, domestic violence, and they don't want me to know what they look like, there's complete confidentiality there. So I don't need to know what you look like. I don't go and look you up on Facebook or LinkedIn or anything. There's just complete confidentiality there, and my clients really value that and the trust that they put in me. They tell me things that they've never told anyone, and sometimes that's what they need, someone where there's no judgment, where they feel completely safe in their own home whilst the energy is being cleared, and not having to think that someone is thinking about them in the wrong way or anything like that. So yeah, that's always the first steps, just the free consultation and just getting them to know me and me getting to know them a little bit as well.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for that background there, Anne. So I guess the question now is, you mentioned Zoom, and if, you know, we were having, I guess, hey, I'm in Canada, you're in Australia, and so you can, you know, you sound like you touch base with everybody, doesn't matter where they are. I'm just curious, like, have you found that the experience through Zoom versus in person, is one better than the other, or does it matter?
No. There's no difference. So all of my clients, once I start working with them, we don't do any sessions on Zoom. It's all by phone. So I need them to be able to lie down on their own bed, have the phone switched off, not be disturbed, and just really have that hour for themselves to be able to go in and do the inner work that's needed, or for me to be able to work with them without not talking to them and just work energetically. So yeah, Zoom really doesn't matter, or in person, because the easiest way that I can explain it, you know how we have Wi-Fi all around us and we just connect into it, and we just expect it to be there, and we go off and look at YouTube videos or do whatever we need to do. Well, that energy is also around us for us to be able to heal ourselves and for more abundance to come in. So what we do is we can connect in with that energy. So once I'm connecting with that energy, I can feel what's going on in the person's body, and we can get to the root cause of why there's a blockage there that's causing the pain, and then work with them to release it. So I generally, once I start working with someone, I feel what's going on in their body as well sometimes, and can get to the root cause, which it's all about. It's no good putting just a band-aid on the issue. It needs to be completely healed so that the pain doesn't come back.
Thanks for that, Anne. So, you know, you mentioned about, like, you know, root cause, and, you know, we don't want to, you know, just put band-aids on things. And I'm just wondering, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, how to view energy healing. So I have an example here. So let's just say someone like me, I've had a lot of sports injuries, but, you know, I always thought that maybe it was my knee was the problem. But then after, you know, more examination, I go through, do more, you know, physiotherapy, I get someone to look at my shoes, then I go and, you know, get a chiropractor, take a look at my back. It ends up being that sometimes it's not the area that you intended, and you had to find the right practitioner to deal with the issue. In my case, hip alignment, that was a part of an issue. So along that journey, I saw, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 different practitioners dealing with different things, not necessarily the root issue, but kind of like the symptoms. So I guess my question now over to you is, for energy healing, can this be a type of, you know, treatment to deal with exclusively root issues, or can it be done like in combination with other type of practitioners to help someone, you know, get out of whatever rut they're in, whatever challenge? Like, how would you view it? Is like something to clear everything, or maybe just one of many things to help for like a big overall kind of solution to improve their health?
Yeah, great question. So once I start working with my clients, we work on everything. So it's like the body goes through a full service. And the reason that we need to do that is because sometimes the person doesn't know why the pain's there. So anything that happens to the body means that it, like, you can have a think that you're having a sports injury, for example, and you've damaged it whilst you're doing exercise or whatever. But what's actually going on is, unconsciously, there's emotional stress in the body that needs to be resolved so that the pain leaves the body. So every time you're having a thought or a feeling, we're producing chemicals in our body. They're going into our bloodstream. And what starts to happen is those chemicals all start to cluster together in a weak part of the body, and they build over time. And then all of a sudden you wake up with a bad neck, or you have a sports injury and you hurt your knee. But what's actually happening is your body saying to you, there's inner stuff that needs clearing. There's either trauma from the past, whether it's this lifetime or past lifetimes, or sometimes it's been passed on genetically from your parents or grandparents, and you're the one who's going to have to try and resolve that. So it doesn't, the sports injury is just there to get you to go and look into why you've got the physical pain. So when I'm working with my clients, it doesn't matter what they come to me with, we're going to be working on everything. So I work with them with regards to their health, regards to their relationships, and with their money blocks as well. So it's like the full package of whatever's needed. The great thing about what I do is that every client I work with is completely unique and individual. So there's no specific way that I'm not sitting here with a manual that I'm working through. It's like wherever your issues are that need working on, that's what we're going to be focused on, and that's what we're going to clear, so that you don't need to keep going to chiro, you don't need to keep going to osteo, acupuncture, you know, all of these different modalities that the cost adds up over the years substantially, and also the amount of time it takes to keep going to all of these different appointments. So the great thing is working with me is you don't need to travel anywhere, because I can work with you whilst you're at home, and we're going to work with everything so that your body has like a full service and gets back to its healthy way that it needs to be. And I have nothing against like Western medicine. My daughter's a nurse, my son's studying medicine. So it's in our family. It's just I've taken the spiritual approach to it, and they've gone down the Western medicine pathway. So we have very interesting conversations.
Out of curiosity, are they still skeptics, or, you know, they kind of see, you know, that you can actually heal people, and obviously it works.
Yeah.
So how are they like when they hear about your work?
So my daughters, both, she will let spirituality and medicine work together in that way. My son is a complete skeptic. He's not interested in anything that I do. He just wants to get the facts, the science, the real scientific approach, and he won't even listen to me that there's scientific evidence that what I do works. He's just like, nope, not interested. So he will go on his own journey with what he needs to learn as he progresses. And my daughter's got the best balance because she uses both now, and she's a nurse, and she really gives the patients, you know, the beautiful care that they need.
Interesting stuff there, Anne. So you were talking about the clients there, and I want to, you know, dig in a little bit about that. I wonder if you could just share maybe one or two stories of some clients, you know, that came in with, you know, problem A, problem B, how they got, you know, healed and, you know, worked with you to get to that point. Maybe you can just share, yeah, a couple examples and to see, yeah, what happened there.
Yeah, great. So I'm currently working with three doctors. So I work with people who are skeptical. All right. So the doctors that I'm working with, one of them's actually now referring patients to me, which is really lovely as well, because it just shows that the way people are thinking is really changing around this. But I had a woman come to me, and she had been suffering with migraines all of her life. She was losing about 15 days a month to migraines, where she couldn't leave a dark room because they were so excruciating. She was having Botox. She was seeing neurosurgeons. She sent me an Excel spreadsheet of all the medications that she was on. And I just opened it, looked at it, and then closed it, because I thought, I don't need to know that. Since working with me, she no longer has migraines. She doesn't need to have the Botox. Her medication is practically non-existent, and she's just completely got her life back. She can do the things that she wants to do. She can plan ahead because she doesn't have to worry about if she's going to get a migraine. And her husband just said, it's like you're a new person. They can't believe it, that she suffered all that time and now she no longer has them. Migraines are debilitating. They really do ruin lives, and not just for the person who has to suffer with the terrible pain, but it also affects the partner and the children in the relationship as well, because they then can't do things as a family or, go and have fun or plan for the future. So, yeah, no, I believe no one should be suffering with any type of migraines. And touch wood, I've got 100% success rate with all of the people who I've worked with. They no longer suffer with migraines at all. So, yeah, really pleased that I'm making that difference to for them.
That's a great story there. And so I guess the skeptic person that's probably asking me a question right now is saying, how many sessions do we have to go through with Anne to get this migraine relief? It sounds too good to be true. And like for that individual, was it like, like 5 sessions, 10 sessions? Maybe they had to buy in and really believe it to for it to happen. Maybe you can just shed a little bit of light. I know everyone goes on a different journey, so maybe you can
Yeah,
elaborate on that.
definitely. So I work with my clients for 6 months, because once I start working with them, it's not only the issue that they come to me with, we end up working on other things as well. So it's about getting everything back into balance with themselves. So I think for her, after about five sessions, 5 weeks, she wasn't getting migraines anymore. She was getting like a slight headache sometimes. But then once we'd cleared that as well, she wasn't getting any headaches or migraines at all. So the 6 months is so that we can really go deep, because we don't want the pain to come back again. We don't want you to just have like a few sessions, mask over what's actually really causing it, and then you have to come back again later on. We want it to be a one-time thing, that you at the end of those 6 months, you're not living with that physical pain anymore, so that the body's completely healed itself. So over that 6 months, there's 15 private sessions with me, and also the support in between the sessions. So what sometimes happens for my clients, as I'm working with them and teaching them what they need to change or what they need to practice in the week to help themselves, they get triggered. And so what they can do is they can reach out to me, tell me I'm feeling like this, or this has happened, or the pain's come back, or anything at all. And I'll do another clearing for them in that week, so they're not suffering until or waiting until the next session. So I'm really there to support my clients over that 6 months, so that they have got me holding their hand as they're making life changes.
Thanks for sharing that, Anne. So 6 months, process, would you say that's like the average? Because I'm just kind of curious, you mentioned about like the mental side of things, and I've been talking to some different people that are, that have worked with the mental side of themselves as far as my past guests. And just wondering that if somebody has really done the work mentally with themselves, but they still got a little bit of some kind of blockages there, would their trajectory for healing be quicker than someone that really hasn't done any work mentally on themselves? I'm just wondering, what have you seen and heard from your clients?
It really depends, because like for some people, I don't need to talk to them at all when I'm working with them. They don't want to discuss their emotional feelings. They don't want to discuss any trauma that's gone on in the past. So I just work with them silently to clear it, and they just still get the same results as someone who I'm talking to. So it really depends on the individual, because if they've got really strong belief system that this isn't going to work, then I'm not the person to help them. And that's what I find out doing that free consultation with them. So I really want to work with people who want to get results, and they're invested in themselves, and they're looking for a life change, basically, because that's what they're going to get.
Thanks for clearing that one up, Anne. So, I guess a different question now. So, let's say you have got a client, you've helped heal them to some degree, but then you kind of hit like a roadblock that maybe there's something else going on, maybe an actual health condition. I know you said you had 100%, success rate, but have you discovered, in doing your healing approach, like have you discovered that somebody else may have like an underlying condition of something else that you had to, recommend they see another practitioner, maybe was to do some surgery for something else? I'm just curious, has that ever come up?
Yeah, definitely. Like if I'm working with them and I feel that they really need to go and see their doctor about something, then I highly recommend that. Like I'm not saying that this is the only way that's going to work. Sometimes we have to use both to get the results. So it depends how long the issue has been in their body. Like if they come to me and they've got, like I've worked with people with cancer. So if they've come to me and the condition is so severe, that they've just given up, then all of the healing in the world is not going to help them because they've just gone into that mindset where they're not going to want to do any changes. So then it's up to them to go and see their GP so that they can be on medication for pain relief and things like that. So I always recommend, like, if I'm working with someone and they're anemic, we need them to go and get another blood test so we can see if there's changes going on. Or we'll need them to, if I'm working with someone who's got really high blood pressure, at some stage doing that, we need them to go and get another appointment with their doctor so that they can have their blood pressure taken so we can see what the results are as well. So, yeah, I'm not saying that this is the only way to do things. I'm saying that this is a way that is very non-invasive. You're not going to be having things cut out of you and things that's unnecessary, or going on medication that can cause other side effects. So you end up having to take another medication to replace the side effects, and then you end up being on five different ones because of one issue that originally started. So yeah, both can work together really beautifully, but energy healing is, I believe, the most beautiful way, and it's going to get results so that the issues don't keep coming back.
Thanks for the clarity, Anne. So, speaking of clients, I'm just curious to know, over the last few years, all this global health emergency that we've been having, it's really done a number on a lot of people's mental health. And I'm
Yes.
sure they have come in to see you for various things. I'm just wondering, like, what is the most common thing people come in to see you for these days? It's like they're stressed out at work, all the different things going on in the world. I'm just curious, is there like a common thing that you've seen, or is it just a mixed bag? That's kind of your line of work, perhaps?
Probably over the last couple of years, it's been relationships. So what COVID really done was put us all together with our like intimate partner and children, and could really trigger things in us that we needed to work on ourselves. So what started to happen was people were thinking that they can't live with that person anymore because there's always arguments and things like stress at home and anxiety. But what actually was happening is their partner reflects back at them what they actually need to work on themselves. And once you go and understand that and think about it differently, that trigger from that person no longer affects you anymore. So the arguments stop. So I really believe that the people who are closest to us will show us what we need to work on. There's always conflict when there's something that we need to work on ourselves. And the sad thing is that most people want to try and avoid conflict. They hate confrontation or anything like that. But actually, conflict is the biggest thing that we have that shows us what we need to work on, what we can change about ourselves to be better. And so if you no longer run away from conflict and you see it as like a gift, there's something that I'm being shown here about myself that needs to change or I need to work on. And then what starts to happen is the person who was triggering you, they just stop. They don't need to do it anymore once you've worked on the issue because it's gone. It's been released and it doesn't affect you in that way anymore. So I think over the last few years, relationships have been under a lot of stress because of that needing to be in close proximity with people for long periods of time. So everyone got to see what their triggers were. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, thanks for those insights, Anne. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So I wanted to ask you next a little bit about what you posted on Social media, you talked about, within yourself, trying to figure out yourself, and that's something that you did recently. You went skydiving, and you mentioned that it's so important to push yourself, do different things out of your comfort zone. Just wondering if you could walk us through that process. Not everybody's jumped out of a plane. I was fortunate to do that recently in September, and quite the experience. So I'm just wondering, what was your thought process to decide to make the big leap of faith?
Yeah, so I actually done it about a year and a half ago, I think, or 2 years ago. So it was a stage that I was going through where I was very comfortable. Everything was is beautiful in my personal life and my business was going really well. And I just felt like it was something that I needed to do to give me a bit of a shake up or just get me outside of my comfort zone. So I am petrified of heights. And I just booked to do it. I booked for my husband to do it as well. And when I told him, he just thought that I was joking because there was no way he would have ever dreamed that I was going to jump out of a plane. And I've got to tell you, it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, I thought I was going to have a heart attack going up in that plane. I was so scared. And the instructor who I was strapped to, normally they, as you know, they shuffle you to the edge and then you sit on the edge with your feet dangling over and then you fall out. We didn't do that. He knew that if that was gonna happen, I would have just been fighting for my life, I think, to not have fallen out of the plane. So he just shuffled along the seat and we was out like within seconds as soon as that door opened. And I went from being absolutely petrified to feeling the most peaceful calmness experience come over me that I've ever experienced in my whole life. So I have no idea what happened for the shift to go that quickly, but it was one of the best experiences now that I've ever had because of that peacefulness, that calmness that came over me to know that everything is okay. We build up a story in our mind that we're going to die, or we create all of this drama that we're not safe or anything, but actually we are, and when we trust in that, that's when we can feel that inner peace come over us and just go with the experience. So I don't know if I'd ever do it again. I think it was a once in a lifetime experience, but I'm so glad that I've done it. So I highly recommend it if you're getting a bit comfortable with life.
Wow, that's great. That's a great story to tell there. Yeah. So, everyone listening out there, hey, it can be like Anne and I, and take the leap of faith sometimes. So you might see things in a whole different light.
Yes.
So, Anne, I wanted to pivot to something else on social media, kind of related. It's has to do with a quote of yours. Like to kind of explore quotes and dig in and unpack the odd quote from my guest. And the one that interested me was, I'll read it out to you here. It says, "Nothing happens against you, it happens for you." So for this one, I like this quote because it speaks about how it's on each of us to make things the way we want it. And is that kind of your thought process? Wondered if you can just unpack that a little bit and kind of share with us.
Yeah, so like really, no experiences have an energy until we attach our old beliefs or our thought systems to that experience that then makes it a good or bad experience. So it's only the beliefs that we've been taught from parents and grandparents or teachers that mold us before we're 7 years old. And then we have our own belief systems come in as well as we're growing up. And what we then do is an experience comes along. We from our unconscious mind, we pull all of those experiences forward, attach it to that experience, and then we end up repeating a behavior again. So it's why people can be on their second or third divorce, and it's the same thing that happens as in the new marriage. They think that They blame the first marriage on the other person, and then they meet someone and they think it's going to be fantastic. And then the same experiences start to come up again. So they attach all of their beliefs and thoughts to this new person. And then there's another marriage that finishes, and then they just keep going on to the next person, and the pattern just keeps repeating. And so what they're doing is they're not looking at themselves and what needs to be worked on, and they're blaming other people outside of themselves. So they're attaching that energy to the experiences and then repeating. It just keeps creating the same experiences for them.
Thanks for sharing that, Anne. So, as we are winding down this podcast, I like to ask my guests, a two-part question, and it goes like this. So, what are you most grateful for, and what are you most looking forward to in the future?
So I'm most grateful for my husband who really supports me and my children, and also through all of the experiences I've had, like emigrating to Australia, how it's really transformed my life. And I'm really pleased that I've gone on this journey as well and not resisted it. So, because it would have been so easy for me to just go, oh no, I'm not doing that, and just closed it off. So I'm really proud of what journey we've all been on together, and the support that I have. And about the future, my company's growing. I'm working with more and more people who are looking for a different way for themselves to heal. Like over 55% of the population are now using alternatives. So it's growing, and it's just going to keep growing more and more in the future. And I'm really glad to be on this journey. And I'm also like really proud that I'm able to work with the skeptics. You know, I want to help people understand that there is a different way of being able to live life and do things differently. And if I hadn't have been through what I've been through, I wouldn't be able to help them or understand them. So yeah, I'm really pleased to be able to do what I do, and I'm looking forward to a really abundant and healthy and happy future, continuing to do this work.
Thanks, Anne. Those are some really great words to leave us off with. So, if people want to know more about you, learn about you, where can they find you?
So the best place to go is my website and nolaharris.com, and on there's a meditation, there's master classes, there's videos, so you can actually get to know me much more. You can learn from me on there, and if you then want to take the next step, they can book a free consultation and we can have a chat in private about their own situation, and yeah, just take it one step at a time.
Thanks, Anne. We'll be sure to add that to our show notes. So that's a wrap for episode 9. Thank you for joining us, and namaste, everyone.